This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, third hour here on the show. What's going on? Hope everybody's having a great Thursday. Week 11 tonight should be all sorts of fun with Kyler and Russ. As we get back to the hoops, though, huge story, Klay Thompson. Oh, man, and we do it from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Now the Warriors will have to pivot here, and it looks like they're close to landing Kelly Oubre from Oklahoma City. And the other thing that remember Gordon Hayward and the Celtics pushed back that deadline? Mm-hmm. And he has now opted out of his $34 million deal for the season. He's going to become a free agent. Boy, that seems
that's interesting.
Like an awfully ambitious move for a guy who's good, but I don't know. And, if he's your fourth option, as we said yesterday, fine. But, go ahead, Zeke.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's likely not looking to break the bank anywhere. I'm trying to understand what Gordon Hayward is doing here.
Maybe he just wants to play somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Heard rumblings maybe goes to the Pacers.
Yeah.
He played at Butler in Indiana.
It's just a move we'd never see. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends on
not for a guy making $34 million, BT.
No, well, what's let me see. No, at that level, you'll see some $7 or $8 million. Yeah, that's a little different. Generally, that kind of money. And it's going to be interesting when you get to a point, when you get to eventually Russell Westbrook, who in 3 years has the player option. I think that's $47 million.
Yeah.
These guys with these ridiculously huge contracts, like that is a lot of scratch to turn down at a very advanced age.
That's right.
If you're holding up and you're still productive, great. You do it, you maybe squeeze an extra 2-3 years out of it. But the economic game and economic model for the NBA has changed a lot. I don't know that we yet have our answer because I think that there's so many big contracts that are just starting to pop now.
Yeah.
And with player empowerment and the ability to bounce and kind of shift things at your discretion, maybe it will be more volatile. But I don't know what back to the Warriors, it's the big story. It's the huge story. Klay Thompson, just a great player. He's a future Hall of Famer, multi-champion, terrific defender, one of the great shooters of all time, one of the great off-the-ball offensive players of all time. I want to get into the conversation about Steph Curry,
mm-hmm.
All right? Because this is something that I really wanted an answer to last year, and we were deprived of that answer as well.
That's right.
And you posed the question to me before. Why don't you reset it, and let's start getting into it here. This is about Steph, less about Klay.
It's kind of unfair to put this all on Steph because it is a team game. But let's be real. If there's a star on this team, if there's one star, there might be only one. I like Draymond Green, but how old is Draymond right now? Draymond's 30. He has to be 31. Is Draymond Green still that star?
No.
Right?
He never was a star.
No,
he was just a perfect fit for them.
Yeah. He was, but even then, but you remember, he would you'd leave him open in the, around the perimeter because like he's not taking that shot, and he had an ugly like little hop shot,
little line drive, knuckleball action.
But it would go in, it would go in a lot of times, and you'd be like, all right, this guy can ball, man. You know, he's a great defender, and you know, leave him unguarded. Guess what? He's gonna knock one down on you, and he's gonna get hyped about it. He cannot do that anymore, and so there is one star on this team right now, and it's Steph Curry, and. You know, we always talk about how it takes more than one to you know, elevate a team or at least keep them viable. And right now we're going to find out if the Golden State Warriors can use one. And maybe James Wiseman turns into something that we're not expecting because we didn't really see him play in college. Only played a few games. Not even. Only a couple, right?
I think it was about seven or eight, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. And he ultimately was gone. No, he got in trouble after the first one, right? And then he came back, he played a couple, and then he opted out. Steph Curry is going to be tasked with being the lone superstar on this Golden State Warriors team, something that he hasn't done really ever. As he was ascending, Draymond Green was in that previous state that we were talking about, as was Klay Thompson, in that evolution, of that dynasty. And Harrison Barnes was a good role player on that team as well.
Yeah. Andrew Bogut.
That's right. And
now,
if you're looking at their roster,
Rush was on that team early.
Some good players.
Yeah.
Who are you looking at right now on this roster to say, all right, lift with me if you're Steph Curry and you're knocking down 42% of your three-pointers. There's not a lot of players. And so the question is going to become, can Steph Curry carry this team by himself?
Let's first define carry.
Win those games you're not supposed to.
Well, give me a win total. Give me a point, like second round, third round, finals.
Yeah, no, it's not even about the postseason for me.
But it should be if you're a superstar.
It's just, do they look like the Warriors that we've seen? A team that has been dominant, you know, coach themselves around. They outwork their opponents.
Over.
They share the basketball.
Nope.
And it's all gonna be on Steph. To be that catalyst, and I know he's not in a position to just, I'm going to take 30 shots a game, because that's just not him. It's not Steve Kerr's system. But doesn't it feel like it's got to get to a point, BT, where he might have to do that on some nights?
Well, okay, let me just, I will use Draymond as a bridge to eventually answer my Steph Curry dilemma here. You know, you're right. I mean, Draymond is what he is as a player, and that's a player with a relatively diverse skill set. Can get his own rebound, lead the break, can dish, can finish. Not a great athlete, but obviously he's going to go up aggressively, blah, blah, blah. The knuckleball jump shots are very disconcerting last year and a half or so. I don't know where that suddenly come from, but you're right. He used to knock down those big shots. You leave him open, he would get his puppy set. He would drill a bunch. So
yeah, back in 2015-16, BT, it was almost 40%. It's 38%, 39%.
No doubt. He was very proficient from behind the arc. So while the skills are eroding a little bit, the one thing – I shouldn't say the one thing. That's not fair to Draymond. One of the things that Draymond still possesses, and this is important for the future of the, at least for this year's iteration, whomever they bring in, right, he is still, he has great value in setting the expectation level for newcomers to acquiesce to the unselfish nature of the franchise.
Good point.
The tenacity, the championship spirit. Not that Steph couldn't do that, but Draymond's message gets delivered in a way that is undeniably translated.
It's more intimidating when it comes from Draymond.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know exactly where he stands. And if you don't agree with him, you're going to have a problem, which I love. All right, so now we get to Steph. See, to me, this is kind of a contradiction, and he might be one of the greatest contradictions in the history of the game.
Go ahead.
When I tell you why. He is undeniably the best shooter of all time. Don't tell me Ray Allen was close, Chris Mullin could shoot. I mean, he's the best shooter of all time, right? And the best shooter of all time in the modern NBA, especially with MVP, is one of the best players in the NBA. And when you're one of the best players in the NBA, it should be relatively easy to elevate a franchise to a top four seed. I don't care how good the conference is. Don't tell me it's that good. I mean, it's good, but you should be, if you're one of the best players in the NBA, get a top four seed, host, and then whatever happens after that, it's kind of gravy because they'll be overmatched.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't think that that's going to happen. They're not going to be a top four seed. I think that their destiny, unless they do something that I don't see and it works out, and even if Wiseman pops, and he might, the kid's 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't count on it all the time.
Yeah.
And or when it matters.
No, you can't. It's unfair to the kid. It's unrealistic in most situations. So I look at Steph Curry and I say, well, all right. Okay, here we go. He's not fully out of his prime yet.
No.
He's got to pick up a lot of the loose ends here. Go do it, because LeBron's done it. Now, quite frankly, Anthony Davis couldn't do it with the Pelicans.
That's right.
He couldn't do it. But most,
and he was viable both sides of the court, because as a defender and as a scorer.
For sure. But most of the great ones are able to do that. And as much as I love watching Steph, and as much as he's altered the trajectory of the game, I don't think he does it.
Do you think that Andrew Wiggins can help and fill the void a little bit?
Now, sure, Andrew Wiggins, but I need you to determine, are you talking 44 wins or are you talking 53? I need to know parameters.
Yeah, like 50 wins. I'm talking about 50 wins in the regular
50
season.
Wins 50 wins seems ambitious to me.
Yeah. 50.
Well, first of all, it's 72-game season, so 50 is really, you know,
it's 40. Really 40. Yeah.
40-ish.
Yeah.
I don't think so, Teak.
So, here's the problem. It's that,
I think so.
that every night scorer, who is that guy that's not going to have a dud game? Is not going to give you, you know, 25 one night and then 6 the next night, right? I think that's the problem with the Golden State Warriors right now, is that they have too many players that are going to be like that. Now, Andrew Wiggins, yeah, he might average 18 or 20 points or whatever it may be, but there's going to be some nights where he just doesn't score. And they're not winning those games.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, you had a night where Steph was off. He was, you know, 6 for 23 from 3-point range. You know, they could still find a way to win because Clay would pick up the slack. It's just they don't have anyone to pick up the slack scoring wise, and that's where you start trying to find ways to accent this roster right now. It's why Kelly Oubre, he's interesting, but he's
fine.
He's not moving the needle for me. I mean, honestly, maybe Gordon Hayward is an interesting option, even though he doesn't even really move it that much for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as being a top four seed, I'm going to find it hard for them to find. I don't know how they're going to do it next year without another scoring option.
How about these finances, too? Think about this. My buddy Bobby Marks, shout out to Maris, that a boy Bobby. So Bobby just tweeted this. He said, Golden State's tax bill is currently $66 million. The addition of Kelly Oubre will see it increase to $134 million. So the $14.4 million on Oubre's contract plus nearly $70 million in taxes equals $82 million. That is, now you got to lift your.
Why would you do that? Why would you do?
Because they want to be competitive and you got to respect it. I mean, this is the same franchise that, you know, Joe Lacob said the other day that we're willing to pay $30 million to COVID test everybody, every single person to have 50% capacity at the games.
Yeah, this
is for
fans.
You got to respect it.
Yeah, I agree.
But
isn't that reckless use of money?
Not if you have it, it's not. And it's not reckless because it's not compromising their future. Oubre's an expiring deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you take on John Wall, then I'm saying, well, that makes no sense. Even if you're going after Westbrook.
That still doesn't make any sense.
Not a ton, because you got Clay on the max. You got Steph making big money.
Let me rethink that, though. Because if you're going to.
Russ?
Yeah. Because if you're going to bring Russ in, and that's a big number, BT. What is it?
40 30, change.
40 this year?
His player option in 3 years, so two guaranteed plus player option. I believe the player option's 47.
Wow,
I'll look it up. But get your point.
So forget the money side of this, but on the logistics side, the scoring side of this that I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make the money work, which I mean, obviously you can just pay the tax, but if it's worth it to pay $80 million, why not just pay $90 million? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you bring in Russell Westbrook, and now all of a sudden you have an on-ball guard, a guy who can accent Steph. Now Steph is he's the point guard, like he's the facilitator. But if you have a guy who can do it as well, and put Steph in a situation where he can be a shooter as opposed to shooter and facilitator slash playmaker.
Yep,
that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
basketball wise,
it
makes no sense financially. And I just don't know how you survive that, especially if it doesn't work. And a year later, you're stuck with Russell Westbrook opting into his contract.
Here's the numbers. By the way, from a basketball point of view, I totally agree. If you have Westbrook darting into the paint and you just kick it open, that would actually be pretty interesting. 41.3 this year, guaranteed. 44.2 next year, and I was right, $47 million player option, 2022-2023. And it's crazy, too, because I don't know that you could have opened an arena, especially what they paid for it and where it is, in a worse period of time than right now.
That's right.
I mean, the circumstances are really almost unfair to Golden State.
Agreed.
So, first of all, there's a pandemic, which we all have to deal with. But now, you know, multi-time champion, beloved future Hall of Famer who's on your team, 2 years in a row not playing.
Yep.
No guarantee what he looks like when he comes back.
That's
knee,
right.
Achilles, that's problematic for a guy who moves.
He'll be 31.
He'll be 32 when he comes back.
Well, 32, yeah, because he's 30. He'll be 31 this year.
Yep. Steph will be 33 when Klay comes back. Now you're getting into a point where, okay, you know, if Wiseman pops, it offsets a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
If Wiseman was a reach, and I don't think he was a reach. He's not a raw project. Wiseman is skilled, but they need him to be really good. If he's really good, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, but if they need him to be good right away, though, BT. That's the issue.
Well, they need him to be very good right away for this year.
That's what I mean.
But they really need it. But this year, it doesn't matter. They're not going to win anyone, no matter what. They're not going to win anything.
What
are they going to win, the championship?
Look, what if they go get Russell Westbrook? Now that you said that, it actually makes more sense in my head. It really does.
So you got Russ, you got Curry, you got Wiggins, you got Wiseman, you got Pascal was pretty good for him last year.
Yeah,
Looney's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just throwing out some names.
You're small, though. You almost feel like a West Coast Rockets in a
sense. Not with Wiseman, you're not.
Yeah, true. It's true.
And Looney's pretty big, too. I think Looney's 7 feet.
Yeah.
Close to it. Listen, if you missed the first hour of the show, the one thing that I kept going back to is that, and I'm not, you know, casting blame. I'm merely asking the question. Like, you knew that the news from Klay Thompson was ominous.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it. And you knew it before you made the pick. Because I'm watching last night, you know, I'm watching Stephen A's live hit when that was an hour before the draft. Then I'm watching the draft with Jay Will and Reese and all those guys. Jay Billis, the other guy, Schmidt, I think his name is. He's pretty good, actually. He did a good job with the prospects. I'm watching their coverage, and they're talking about the draft. And we knew. Now, we didn't know. They didn't say it was an Achilles, but I know how ESPN works.
Yep.
They want to make sure it's something like that, as every news outlet should, that you're not putting that out there unless you have verification. But you knew, because there were tweets and there were off-the-record confirmations from people that were familiar with the injury to people that we know and respect, not ESPN in general, that were saying it's a bad injury. And when you talk about a lower injury, unless you have a like a Dak Prescott injury, it's the Achilles.
Yeah.
You knew it was the Achilles. So I keep coming back to, boy, I just wonder if they're going to really lament passing on LaMelo Ball. You can tell me all you want about, I know he doesn't shoot well yet, and I know he's got to put on some meat. He's got his old bones and his old skin at this point. Understood.
Yeah.
But if you got him in that culture with Draymond and Steph and Steve Kerr, there's no telling what he can do.
I just don't think LaMelo's going to be ready to play right away.
Well, James Wiseman is.
No, but James Wiseman's not, you know, key to success for them right now. You know what I mean?
Then why'd you draft him second overall?
Because of the future.
Well, then you draft LaMelo the same for the future, same premise.
But when he's ready, you have Klay. You know what I mean? And so it becomes really,
if Klay's the same guy.
True.
Let me ask you, as the athlete,
no way I can answer that.
But
I have
what
no
do you
idea.
Think?
I've never had an Achilles. I've heard a lot about it. Do I think Klay Thompson, with today's medicine, is going to come back and be a similar type of Klay Thompson? I do. Not nearly as athletic, but I do think he'll be the same type of player for Golden State.
Same defensive versatility, same burst and dexterity? It's asking a lot.
He's still long. I mean, at the end of the day.
He also ripped his knee up.
He did.
It's not just his Achilles.
But he looked, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
So you would lean more. And by the way, I'm not even saying that I disagree. I do think that
I'm just not sold on LaMelo. Like I know people have this high expectation for him.
No, I'm not sold either, but I'm not sold on Wiseman.
His brother was supposed to evolve into this, you know, superstar player. He's just an average player.
Yeah.
I like him, but he's an average player.
Yeah, he is. Good, you know, floor vision and all that. Mm-hmm. I got you. All right. You know what's interesting, too? Last night, and you very rarely see this, what does this mean for college basketball? Duke, Kentucky, UNC, a lot of the blue bloods, no lottery picks.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting. What does it mean for the shifting wins in college hoops? Tiki and I will get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent their home or own it, sure you do. Of course, one of the two you have to, right? Geico makes it easy to be either rent it or you own it. Geico makes it easy to bundle, rent it, or you stole it, which wouldn't be highly recommended, right, Teak? You're squatting? Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com.
Squatting.
By the way, I noticed that the barber household already has some Christmas trees up. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Tracy nice. Starts early, man.
You guys put up
but
five,
they're in the basement, though.
Five? You do five?
Five. We do 14, man. But some of them are little. Some of them are little.
Well,
how many big ones? Let's see. One, two.
Got to have at least four big
three,
ones.
Three, four, five. There's five big ones.
I thought it was five. I thought that's what you said.
No, you're
year.
Right. There's five, but there's like a bunch of like little ones. Like the
like
girls
little,
have,
like the size of an arm, little or?
Yeah, like okay. Like the size of this water bottle. You know
gotcha.
What I mean?
Like,
there's, like there's one in the bathroom and there's gotcha. One, you know, two in the girls' room, two in each of the girls' rooms. So.
Nice.
Yeah. We have fun with it. Tracy loves
it. I love it. I love it. I got
and I'm like, Trace, we haven't Thanksgiving dinner yet.
No, you know what? I have changed my tune on this.
Really?
Yeah, I think I was always more traditional in the sense that, like, when we were growing up, we would usually do the first Saturday in December.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many times I'd be in the street playing football, and my mom would call me and my sister. Well, my sister wasn't playing football, but she'd call us in. My sister was probably already in studying. She'd have to call me in. You know, have hot chocolate, put the tree up. Usually got a real tree, go with my dad to pick it up, which I loved. And, you know, right around, you know, December 5th or 6th, somewhere in that window. And it was great. And we'd keep it up to a little Christmas, which is pretty much Italian religious January 6th.
Yeah.
And it was great. But you know what? Dude, there's so much negativity in the world. The more that the earlier I can surround myself
That's
with happiness.
Point. You're right.
And nothing makes me happier than seeing Christmas trees and lights and bells and music. Yeah. I love it. So
you know,
we're doing the same thing.
You know, we have a permanent one in our bedroom.
What?
It's a skinny, like a skinny 6-footer. You know what I mean? But it just has ornaments. It's gold, but it has
it's
ornaments.
It's not a pole, is it, Teak?
No. Connected to, hey, honey.
Hey. Merry Christmas.
We have ornaments from everywhere we visited. So wherever we go somewhere, we just get an ornament and we stick it on there. And it just stays up all year round. I mean,
does it have lights too?
No lights.
Okay.
But nobody sees it except for us. So
I got you.
It's kind of cool, though.
I know you have something from Germany when you went on the Autobahn,
that's
right?
That's right. I did.
All right. All right.
No speeding ticket, though.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. What would you hit? 170, you said?
166, I think it was. Man, 167, something like that. I slowed down when the car went back past me, and like a couple miles later, we saw it like in the ditch.
Really?
Yeah.
At this age, I would never mess around with that. Younger, I probably would try to hit two. Now, no chance. All right, let me read something to you. Ready?
Go ahead.
Let's see if we get a thread here. Georgia, Memphis, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, Auburn, USC, what are we drafting, football? France, Dayton, Israel, Maryland, Florida State, Iowa State, Alabama, Vanderbilt. Those are the top 14 picks in the NBA draft from last night. We've long known about the European influence, which becomes wider and wider and wider and more viable.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you know, like in the early 2000s, even in the late 90s, there was a concept, I guess you still see it now, you draft a guy and you stash him. Like, you keep him overseas for seasoning. You use him, take a second-round flyer on the 7-foot guy, 7-foot-1 guy from Slovenia, wherever. Now, I mean, there's French point guards the last couple of years going top 10. This kid from Israel who's going to be very good. I you know, he fell more than I thought he would. So we've seen the basketball globe expand,
mm-hmm.
but we've seen, at least in terms of the blue bloods, kind of shrink a little bit. And I don't know that last night was just an outlier.
Yeah.
Where's the Kansas kids?
Yeah.
You know, I know the Cole Anthony went 15,
mm-hmm.
but where's the Duke kids? And I don't mean Trey Jones going whatever he went, I forget, but where are the stars from those schools that we've kind of accustomed
to? It's interesting, though, BT, because think about if you are Anthony Edwards, right? And mm-hmm. you're the best player in your class. You can, and you know you're only
going to... Was he the number one?
I don't know.
I don't know if he was number one.
He probably wasn't, to be honest with you, BT. But let's just assume that he was.
Okay.
And because he's just an example. He's not specific, but he's just an example.
Gotcha.
And you know that you're going to college now for 1 year. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily going to, you know, win a national championship. Maybe you are. But a lot of these kids in Kentucky, maybe that's what your aspiration is. You're going to be one and done, but you're also simultaneously trying to win a national championship. They're not congruent, by the way. You don't go to school for a year and say, I'm doing this in 1 year. It just doesn't work. It's why we've seen the national champions be more veteran. Virginia's one. Villanova's another one. Yep. Like, there's not a bunch of one and done kids.
I remember Jalen Brunson doing his thing, for sure.
That's right. Duke, a lot of vets. Even when Duke won it, you know, a few years ago, and it was a couple of them, but not really. I think there's maybe only one. So, but if you're the Anthony Edwards, you know you're going to be a lottery pick. You're going to go for school for a year. You're not going to go to the Blue Bloods. You're not going to go someplace where there's going to be competition, or there's going to be an opportunity, or there's going to be the potential that you might not play. You're going to go a place that's really convenient for you. By the way, Sam just said Edwards was number one recruit.
I wasn't sure.
I don't even remember that, but because when I first heard his name last year, I was like, I don't really remember that kid coming out of high school. But anyways, he went home. Like, he went to Georgia because he's from Atlanta. Yeah. You know what I mean? And his family was close, and we all know the story about his mom and his grandmother. And so he didn't go somewhere that was, you know, going to be a blue blood. He went somewhere that was convenient for him. And that's all that matters, I think, for a lot of these kids that are one and done. I think you're just seeing more of that. Or you're seeing, you know, some of these blue bloods developing differently than, you know, without the stars. You know, because stars can be a little bit of a pain in the butt.
Well, they get in each other's way, really.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Sometimes.
And as evidenced by the FBI investigation, you got to pay these kids. You know what I mean? And it's like, do you really want to do that? And
you
want
to win, you do. You have to.
You're right.
You know, I'm thinking about this. Like, if I was a top player now and I had my choice of schools, I think it would be very appealing. Of course, I would be very intrigued with the prospects of playing for somebody like Coach K. One of those great coaches. We know the great coach. Jay Wright, for sure, is a Northeast guy and just a great coach wherever, you know, all over the country.
Tony Bennett's working his name into that conversation.
No, oh, that was an unintentional omission. Tony Bennett, absolutely, no doubt. I would be very tempted to go to a school that is not going to overshadow my basketball prowess with a football powerhouse.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, I might.
Yeah. So the Big East is really appealing.
Now, the Big East didn't have a lot of. Now, the Big East will be better this year. Big East didn't have a lot of kids. Sadiq Bey, Villanova. Not many kids got drafted for the Big East. Couple of second rounds, whatever. But Miles Powell, who had a great career at Seton Hall, just signed a contract. Not drafted, but signed a contract with the Knicks. The first round talent was a little down this year for the Big East, which is a bit of an outlier as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I want to go to a school with 6,000 kids necessarily, but going to a school like a Villanova, even going to a school like Syracuse with a bad football team. Where I know I'm the guy. Now, I guess Anthony Edwards didn't care because George is really good. He stayed home and he wasn't dwarfed by the shadow of the football program. But I might look at it that way. I really might.
Yeah. And think about, just think about, you talked about the Blue Bloods, but the ACC, I mean, the highest drafted ACC player was from Florida State.
Yeah, you know, well, they had two of them. Yep.
Well, then two of them, and so it's like, where are the Duke kids and the UNC kids and even the Virginia kids, even though they're always, you know, late first rounders or second rounders or free agents that you know, they come out of Virginia because of the way the system works. But where were they all? And the answer is, just maybe it's just cyclical, and this is a cycle that the Dukes and the UNCs didn't have that guy. I think Cole Anthony was supposed to be, you know, one of those, but injuries, and you know, once he came back from that injury, the subpar, you know, performances. I mean, he probably would have been better off not trying to come back draft-wise.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Why?
I think that, first of all, it showed a real tenacity and a real love for the game.
But he didn't play well.
He didn't play well, but I think that, you know, part of the problem, and, you know, we talk so much about shooting percentage. Yeah, you talk about skill set, height, you know, can you be a 3-and-D guy? Can you penetrate? Can you play above the rim? But one of the things that I think a lot of people overlook, and I think this certainly pertains to Cole Anthony, is that if you're on a team, and it sounds odd to say this, but if you're on a team deficient of talent, as he was last year with North Carolina, you are taking a lot of bad shots because you have to monopolize the ball, which means as that shot clock is ticking down, you know, 7'6". Oh, man, I'm 24 feet away from the rim. Let me break this guy down. Let me get to that. Just kind of fire something off balance.
I have a better chance than whoever.
For sure. Out of necessity, not out of being a ball hog. And when you do that enough, even if you only do it three or four times a game, you do it three times over the course of a 30-game season, it's 90 bad shots right there.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Even if you hit 30 of them, you know, it's 33%.
That's a good point.
So it's – and that's the extrapolation of some young players' games that is very hard to detect, much like if you're in a system, if you have like a lead point guard who just gets wherever he wants at will, and you're out there flicking 22 footers, you know, from the short stripe all night wide open.
Yeah.
You might have to reassess that and say, well, okay, what happens when that player who is the beneficiary of all these open looks, when the closeout speed is intensified and the length coming at you is magnified, that could work the other way. So there's so many facts. I think Cole Anthony's actually going to be really good. I know he didn't shoot well. I think it's a good pick for the Magic. I like that.
Yeah. No, we'll see what the Magic can move. Take the steps, because I thought they were taking the steps this year. They didn't. Remember we did our preseason predictions. I had them as, I think, an 8 seed or maybe even a 7 seed. I don't remember now, but I feel like the Magic were going to be closer. They weren't, obviously. But Cole Anthony will help him, especially if he can get on the form that he had those first two or three games before he got hurt at UNC.
Yeah, he had that, what, 37 right away?
It was his first game. I think it was like 36 or 38 or something.
Out of the chute. Boom, yeah. He played great. Okay. Let's get the update for Mac. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. We'll give you final predictions on the game. That's a big one. Seattle and Arizona, obviously NFC West supremacy. Rams are in there as well. But this is a big one. This is one of the, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 games you could really circle throughout the NFL season that will ultimately dictate what we watch in January. So it's a huge one. We'll get to that as well after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Teague, I just saw from one of the respected New York Knicks beat writers that the Knicks might have real interest in trying to trade for Gordon Hayward.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Trade?
I don't know.
Come on.
How many forwards you need?
I know.
Get a guard. Man. I'd just rather see him. Number one, he'd be a better fit to go somewhere where he's going to play for a playoff team.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's going to get paid either way, but I don't really see the value right from the Knicks' point of view. What does he elevate them to? You know, you win 40% of your games instead of 38. I don't know. I don't really see much of an.
Look, he is great for culture, and he's a fantastic, you know, piece. But I agree with you, BT. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting where he lands. It really is.
And there's still all the depot. Yep. And by the way, more and more, it really looks. Daryl Morey said today that Ben Simmons and Embiid, his exact quote was, "and be here for a long time together." So we keep talking about this James Harden situation, either the Nets or Sixers. I don't know how they're not going to be able to get James Harden without giving up one of the two aforementioned players. So still a lot to be determined here in the NBA. Free agency is getting ready to start. We'll see what happens. Freddie VanVleet's a decent player, very decent. He's out there and some trades as well. So with that, we kick it to the blast. Teak, you ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so after DeAndre Baker's armed robbery charges were dropped earlier this week, the Chiefs swooped in, immediately signed him to the practice squad. Mm-hmm. How much of a factor will Baker be for Kansas City?
I mean, he's insurance, I think. He's on the practice squad just in case COVID or, you know, injury or whatever it may be, because that's how people are using the practice squad these days. Veterans can now be put on the practice squad. That used to not be the case. How much of a factor? I don't think he'll be much of a factor unless one of those situations that I just detailed happens. He's an okay player, but nothing special. But it's a let's see. Let's see if we can get him right.
Let me lean on this, though, in terms of the actual characteristics of the position that he plays. Like, why can't, if you get him in the right system, I don't know. I mean, I know he didn't play well for the Giants, but what's missing? Is it instinct?
It was a work ethic.
Okay. Man. So if something clicks and you've got him with the right DC, he can't become maybe not a star, but
maybe
an above. So he's maybe. Not
Spags,
talent,
Spags, Spags is a good defensive coordinator.
That's,
you know what
I'm,
I mean? Andy Reid's a great head coach.
Yeah.
They have the right culture there from, you know, on both sides of the football. So maybe it does help, but I don't know. We'll see. He's got a lot of work to do.
He does.
I think on himself, more importantly.
Yeah, I think it's a worthwhile signing. The old, low risk and potentially pretty decent reward. So why not? You kick the tires, get him in the building, surround him with good people, and see what happens.
That's right.
All right, this was interesting. So the Giants yesterday fired, we mentioned this, but it's worthy of getting into a little bit more since Tiki's a former Giant, fired offensive line coach Mark Colombo, former Cowboy, following a reported spat with head coach Joe Judge. Now, basically, Jason Garrett wanted to bring Colombo in, and Joe Judge did a pretty smart thing. He didn't want to, like, handcuff his new OC and say, no, you need to hire this guy. So he actually let Colombo in, despite maybe going against his first instincts. Now, some reports say that it got physical. Most have shot down that idea. And the question is this. Should assistant coaches regularly challenge head coaches? Hmm. Now, my gut says obviously no, but I do think that it depends on the environment.
Yeah.
I do think it depends on, what is permitted, how...
Is not even what it's about, though.
I know it's not. This was about bringing in a 15-year veteran to help him out. Because, I know what this was about. But I'm just saying, as an overall concept, should assistant coaches regularly challenge head coaches? No. Just like the assistant teacher or the assistant coach or the babysitter shouldn't challenge the parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a pecking order of responsibility and authority here. It's old school basic principles. Come on.
Yeah, no, BT's right. And the assistant that he's talking about is Dave DeGuglielmo, who's been there previously. He was an assistant when I was there.
Googs.
Assistant line coach. Googs is good. He's been in a couple other places, including the Pats. So there's a familiarity, with Coach Judge. So, and that's really what happened. And Mark Colombo got upset because they were bringing in somebody who could potentially undermine him, and it got loud. But there were no fights. I talked to people over there. There's no fight.
I love that Joe Judge doesn't back down. I'm back down from anything.
All right. You don't like it? See ya.
See ya. You're fired. You're fired. All right. College football playoff executive director Bill Hancock told ESPN that the playoff as of now was still remaining on the same timeline. Would it be better to say nothing at this point?
I think so. I mean, why be proven wrong when you get handcuffed, 3 weeks from now or whenever it happens? And, people are up in arms about the playoff because it's unfair to some of these teams that have had some COVID issues and can't end up playing enough games to be, viable or evaluated well enough. So don't say anything. I don't understand why they feel the need to.
Yeah. Generally I would subscribe to that as well, but the way it was said and the way it was positioned, it's obviously not ironclad.
Yeah.
Would it be better to say nothing? No, I think that you have to at least give us some sort of a map to navigate this in real time. And obviously right now, Bill Hancock thinks that it's going to happen as advertised, and I don't think he said anything that is so, married to a specific day that if he goes against it, it looks really bad. I think that the nation would understand based on the circumstances and the week-to-week changes, the day-to-day changes in the numbers. So generally, I would say don't say anything rather than have to change your mind, but specific to COVID, I have no – it's a fluid timeline. Everybody knows that. This is interesting. Cavaliers forward Kevin Love admitted several times, most recently on an episode in depth with Graham Bensinger, that he planned out a suicide attempt back in 2012. Very open about his mental health and some things that he's dealt with. Still thinks about suicide, he said. Mm. How can professional sports leagues improve how they handle mental health issues? Well, the first step was to acknowledge that it's not a weakness. That was the first step. And for a long time, it was kind of, thrown in the corner of the room. This person, I don't know, a little crazy, a little unstable. You had to get past that to get to cross the bridge to get at least near a solution. But when it comes to something like that, like a player, a star, or it doesn't matter how good you are, you're a human, I don't really know what the league can do except have the available resources and make it known in the building that if something plagues you, if you are afflicted by something, come talk to us and then we'll get you in proper touch. But if you're thinking about suicide, still, that's not on the Cavaliers. That's something Kevin Love's either medically or professionally needs to really... sure he is dealing with it.
It is a medical issue, BT. So here's a parallel. So I remember 3 or 4 years into my career with the Giants, they brought in a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. Her name was Heidi Skolnick, and she was great. And I didn't think I needed a nutritionist. I'm working out. I'm young, 25, 26 years old, strong, eat, 3,500, 4,000 calories a day. But then when you start looking at your blood tests and you realize you have high cholesterol and high blood pressure, it was nice to have someone you could chat with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the leagues, the best thing they can do is just make it like perfectly clear that there's someone available for them to talk to.
Yep.
And not to be ashamed about it.
Yep. Yeah, we're on the same page. I mean, that's open door policy, and we're here to help, not to judge. All right, Teague, final one. Here we go. So Wrigley Field will be given a federal landmark status in the National Register of Historic Places. This is great. Long overdue, by the way. What are you waiting for? What other sports stadium should be considered federal landmarks? Good question. Go ahead, Teague. You're up first.
I mean, Fenway is.
Yep.
For sure.
For sure.
What other ones? Lambeau should be.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's hard because so many of these other like iconic places have gotten torn down and remade.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's just not a
Soldier Field, but that's totally refurbished.
Feels completely different now.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of any off the top of my head, to be honest, because they're all new. Everything is new.
Yeah, I would say certainly Fenway.
Yeah,
I would see you're right. The problem is, Joe Louis Arena.
I mean, like the Big House. Should the Big House maybe Michigan football?
You could start. I might even start. Quite frankly, I might start with Princeton School because that's where college football was invented.
It's a great point.
Right
down the road from us.
Give Rutgers some love. I mean, Yankee Stadium's new. You can't do that. Mm. Dodger Stadium is one I might look at when they bounced and went west in the late 50s.
Is it still the same stadium?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Same stadium. Joe Louis Arena where the Red Wings used to play, that's long gone. There's not many.
Yeah, the problem
Boston
is
Garden's gone.
Everybody wants something new.
Madison Square Garden's different.
Yeah.
Not many. Definitely Fenway. You start there.
Yeah. The Garden should be one.
And Lambeau's on the list, too.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I'll tell you what. I don't even know if this would apply because if it's private, like, what about golf courses? Like, what about, you wouldn't do that to Augusta, but could you do that to a public course like
Bethpage or something?
I was thinking Bethpage. Can you do something like that?
Is it a landmark if it's like open pastures? And,
I don't know.
I don't know.
You still
either.
Haven't played that, have you?
No. Been out there once, but never played it.
Nah, don't waste your time, dude.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
I'll hate it. I won't enjoy
it. You have to walk, too.
Well, I don't mind that.
No, you don't mind it, but you might mind it if you're shooting a 109.
Yeah.
And it's up. Dude, there are 449-yard par fours.
What's the point?
That's
driver.
All right, Teague. All right, Cardinals, Seattle. I got the cards. I got the cards by a touchdown. What do you got?
I got the cards as well. I'm going to say it's less. I think they're going to win by a point.
Ooh, that'll be fun. Good luck to your Kyler Murray tonight. Same with me, fantasy purposes. Should be some good players out there. Football Friday tomorrow. Sharp Tierney in the house. Have a great night. Safe, sensible, safe. We'll see you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.